Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program. We also welcome those tuning in on DCNowRadio.com on the East Coast, but also around the world through BlogTalkRadio.com, either through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. Today we're speaking with Lieutenant Gary Jones. He's an individual who has not served his country well, but he's also been able to now to serve a larger purpose as an advocate for justice. He's here to talk to us not only about what led him into service, but also what he hopes to do today that all of us can learn from. Gary, welcome to Conversations Live.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, definitely glad to have you here on the program. You know, I think, you know, and I was actually sharing this a few days ago with another one of our guests. I have a sister who has served almost 8 years in the Air Force, so I think I speak on behalf of all of our listeners and saying we appreciate your service to this country. But I want to go back to where this all began for you, Gary, because when I was getting ready for this segment, one thing I thought about is that, you know, we all have been called to serve, but not all of us answer the call, and those call-ins can come in different ways. When did you first realize that you wanted to do something more than just for yourself, but that you wanted to serve a greater good?
Let me just tell you a few things first.
Mm-hmm.
I started working with Department of Justice, D.C. Department of Correction, Washington, D.C. Then I later moved to North Carolina, worked with North Carolina Department of Correction. And then I started working with Department of Justice. And I basically received a promotion as a senior lieutenant to the Federal Correction Institution in Tallahassee, Florida. In 1995, I was a senior lieutenant in Tallahassee, Florida. October 1995, I was fighting in a riot. And the reason why we were fighting in a riot is because the mandatory minimum, I don't know whether or not you're familiar with the mandatory minimum sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
In reference to crack and powder cocaine.
Right.
They were sentencing a lot of minorities, overwhelmingly with crack cocaine to federal prison. And I'm not saying that whites didn't, get caught for crack cocaine, but what happened was they were taking the whites and sentencing them to state court where they had parole and they didn't have the mandatory sentencing guidelines. So basically, let me give you an example. Okay, at this particular time, you know, if you getting caught with 5 grams crack cocaine, you was getting sentenced 100 times more than the individual that got caught for powder cocaine. So in 1995, Congress asked the United States Sentencing Commission to go out and see whether or not the laws, the mandatory minimum laws in reference to crack and powder cocaine were biased or racist. So the United States Sentencing Commission went out. They came back to Congress and stated, yeah, the laws are racist towards blacks in reference to the powder and crack cocaine because blacks are getting a lot more time than whites. So at the time, we had the Attorney General, Janet Reno. She informed us, you know, with Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Prison, that Congress is getting ready to change that law to make it fair for whites, blacks, Hispanics, and others. And what happened was, President Clinton, as well, you know, he was backing it, he was behind it, and Congress had verbally stated that they was going to change the law. And at the last minute in October, they changed their minds. So the inmates started rioting.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, I had to take the Special Operation Response Team to an institution to fight in the riot. And that's what caught my attention. I grew up on moral values. And I understood what they were fighting for, but at the same time, I had to do a job, and that kind of, like, basically changed my life.
Mm-hmm. So let's back up a little further than that, because I was asking you about, you know, when you first decided that you wanted to serve. What was it that initially led you to the Department of Justice?
Basically, you know, I have my degree in criminal justice, and I had relatives that worked in the system, as well as my brother that worked in the system. So, you know, I had friends, you know, I was growing up in North Carolina. I had friends that got in trouble. And so when I went off to North Carolina Central University, what happened was I took a course in intro to criminal justice. And I kind of liked it. I was able to pass. I was able to make an A because it was sort of like, you know, the subject, it came easy to me based on where I grew up at and the friends I used to have. You know, words like probation, words like parole, words like let me see, just probation, parole, sentencing, pre-sentence investigation reports. I was very familiar with that through friends, and I always had a knack for justice.
Okay.
Even when I was growing up, and I got that knack for justice, you know, just by seeing my grandmother. And I realized when I was growing up, even in school, even in sports, every job I worked, I always liked justice. So whenever I was on a job and I didn't see, you know, injustice, when I seen injustice, I always stepped to the plate and try to make things right. So
gotcha.
It's been in me the whole time.
Okay. And so I think that helps, Gary, for our listeners to put in perspective what you were discussing with the riot, what happened. Why was it that, you know, that struck you as something that, you know, of course, that was not right, and why you felt as though something had to be done? I want to kind of reset for those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side of our program or online. You're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Lieutenant Gary Jones. Well, I was just asking him about what is it that initially led him into service. He's now doing something, doing different work, but still servicing the community. But he was talking to us about his work at the, of course, the Department of Justice and a particular riot that happened that kind of changed his perspective. So Gary, for you then, being able to see individuals who were being wrong, that spurred you to action. Talk to us about, you know, your organization, Advocate for Justice, how it came about, and what you hope to accomplish through it.
Okay, the organization came about in 2003. I was forced to retire for medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I was forced to retire for medical reasons because while working in the system, I seen so much injustice. So I started fighting for justice, and I got retaliated against so much to the point I had to medical retire. So, you know, the doctor forced me to retire. So when I retired in July 2003, I decided, you know, I needed something to do. But the fact that I had this background in criminal justice, the fact I had this background working with the Department of Justice inside the prison system, I said, well, you know, I just create an organization and make people aware of the bad laws that we created that's hurting a lot of minorities. And that's why I started my organization. And I basically started my organization also to, I wanted the system, I wanted Congress to bring back federal parole. It was abolished in November 1987, meaning that when you get those long sentences for nonviolent crimes, you're getting 35, 45 years of life without parole. I knew that was wrong because it was like a nonviolent crime.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that struck me when I was working inside that prison, one thing struck me when I used to have to interview the new inmates that come in there, and, you know, one of the questions we have to ask was, where do you want your body to be shipped when you pass away, because they wasn't getting out? And that kind of, like, bothered me, especially someone that never been in trouble before in their entire life and got a drug charge and got life in prison for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started an organization to bring attention to those bad laws that were created. And the reason why those bad laws were created, I don't know if you remember the basketball player at the University of Maryland, Len Bias.
No, I don't.
Yeah, he was a superstar basketball player that got drafted to the Boston Celtics. And what happened during the drafting process, he went to a party, and he died of a cocaine overdose. So his mother in Washington, D.C., started going around the country, you know, putting pressure on Congress to change these laws They want to lock all the people that were using drugs, lock them up, and throw away the key. And so in 1986, if I'm not mistaken, it was an election year. And I think Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House at the time. And this was a subject that they just ran to after Lynn Bias being a superstar. They ran to and said, okay, you know, we need to do something about need drugs and things of that nature. So she started going around the country. And so that's what forced them to pass those bad laws, mm-hmm. which incarcerated so many people.
You know, this is interesting, Gary, because I think it ties into a conversation I had actually just earlier this week with an individual named Tracy Syfax, and he has written a book called, you know, From the Block to the Boardroom. And he was one of these individuals who was repeatedly arrested in and out of prison, and now he runs a $1 million business. And he was one of the things he said to me, and I bring this up because I think it ties into what I'm taking away from your conversation, and that is, he said his hope is that he can get the kids before they get to the block, so he can lead them right to the boardroom. Is that one of the things that you hope people take away from the work that you're doing, that you don't have to end up on the streets or in that lifestyle and have to benefit from the reform? We can help you stay at a place where, you know, you don't have to go that route, that we can just help you be able to keep on the straight and narrow.
I agree with you 100%, and that's precisely what my organization does. We go out speaking to churches, we go out speaking to schools, and we try to inform the children some of the things that, you know, that I observe working in the Department of Justice, and we try to catch them before they even get caught up in the system. Because I always felt if you can catch a person before they get caught up in the system and to divert them, then I think they'll be law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And that's why, and also we like to talk to the parents and to inform them about the laws. Because, see, I notice when a lot of people get, you know, locked up, they don't have a clue. They didn't have a clue about the mandatory minimums and sentencing laws. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a clue. They didn't know what it was. Meaning that if you get caught for, you know, if your crime fell in the category of mandatory sentencing, that means you, the judge, you know, the judge's hands was locked, per se, because of the law. The judge had to go by the guidelines that Congress set. There wasn't anything they wanted to do. Maybe a judge will see a person and say, well, you know what, I don't have to send this person 15 years. You know, I think I can divert them to another program. Mm-hmm. And they can get their life back on track. But see, the judge, you know, hands were tied. She had to go by the mandatory minimum sentencing law, meaning that you automatically go to prison for a certain amount of time.
Right.
That's automatic. And, you know, no kids didn't know that. So now we just talk to kids, talk to churches, and just, you know, because I used to go up to Congress and lobby about trying to change those laws. And it helped. It helped out a lot. It definitely helped out a lot because President Barack Obama passed the First Sentencing Act of 2010 that released anywhere from about 5,000 to 15,000 inmates. It reduced their sentence because it wasn't fair that they got sentenced for, you know, all that time. A lot of people were being over sentenced, so when that bill passed, a lot of inmates were able to get out. So, you know, and I think it's because not just me, you know, other organizations, people out in the streets were lobbying the Congress, you know, to get rid of these bad laws. And it's working. It's working. We have a lot of work to do, but at the same time, we made a lot of progress.
And this is where I think it gets tricky, though, Gary. I want to once again say for those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Lieutenant Gary Jones. He's been talking to us not only about the work that he was doing as part of the Department of Justice, but the incident that happened that made him kind of rethink, you know, his own role as an advocate and how he wanted to be able to help individuals that he felt as though were being disenfranchised. That led him to create the organization that we've been talking about, which is being able to advocate for justice for individuals. And through that, he is now being able, as he was just telling us, to go and speak to kids, speak to churches, and to try to influence the laws that are out there. Now, of course, Gary, there will be people listening to this conversation, so I have to bring this up, who will say, well, you know, these individuals, you know, whoever they might be, you know, if they committed a crime, they deserve whatever the law is. What would you say to individuals out there who say, you know what, if they're sentenced to these long terms, maybe that will be a deterrent for them to commit the crimes in the first place?
Well, I agree. You know, I agree that, you know, we should have prison, and I agree that the citizen should obey by the rules and regulations. But at the same time, you know, the sentence didn't fit the crime.
Hmm.
I mean, if I know one sentence that a guy got caught for stealing some cows, I think in Ohio or somewhere, and got a mandatory minimum sentence of 7 years. And this other individual, he raped a child, molested a child, had been molesting that child for a couple of years, and the judge just gave him probation. So, you know, what I would say to the people, just look at what the individual did,
mm-hmm.
and just look to see whether or not they got enough time or they didn't get enough time. You know, because it's not fair. And, you know, Cyrus, since we're talking, we're having this conversation, I want to be real with you, Cyrus. When I worked inside that prison, we was building furniture, TWA Airlines, they utilized the inmates. But when you call 411, those inmates, you don't know who you're talking to. Most of the time, you're talking to an inmate. When you make reservation for your overseas trip, most of the time, you're talking to inmates. Inmates build a lot of things. And for the people out there that don't think that an individual should get a second chance, think like this. Most of the inmates that come, that's incarcerated, like, you know, telephone operators and things of that nature, they're taking society's job. But they're complaining, you know, that they should stay in there forever. But at the same time, when they say they're outsourcing jobs to overseas, a whole lot of time they outsource jobs right across town to the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get a lot of flack. Why are you standing up for the people that's locked up? And my philosophy is like this. I feel like everyone deserves a second chance. I feel as though Jesus died for us, and that's what I believe. And that's, you know, that's why we got a second chance in life. I don't feel like, you know, if you have some petty drugs that you should get sentenced to life in prison. I don't think so. But I do think you should go to prison for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is why this conversation is so important, Gary. And I was asking that question, of course, because not everyone, of course, is going to agree with your position on this. But I do believe this. I do believe that us having a conversation like this will do two things. It will, one, make us think about the laws that are out there. In fact, I was recently talking on this program to Vicki Hankins, who mentioned your organization when she was on the program. And you know, she was a perfect example of someone who has, you know, done amazing things with her life since she's been out of prison. And there are so many people like her. Of course, not everybody is a Vicki Hankins. And I think that's the situation that we run into. You have these individuals that are in and out of prison, and you wonder sometime, okay, is the system working? But I love the approach that you're taking in. You're actually going at the law, and that is the way it should be done. If the law is not fair, the law is what should be addressed, and the law is what should be changed. And just make sure that that's the focus and that people know even what the law is, because I think the service that you're offering through your organization, Advocate for Justice, is showing exactly what the law is so that people are aware of these things. And then to be able to go into the schools and the churches, as you mentioned, being able to reach them where they are, I think will be a big help as well. So walk us through what is the end game for you, Gary, and how this isn't just something that you can do. This is something that all of us can do, and I feel like have a responsibility to do, and that is to, when we see injustice, that we should do our part to make sure that that is eradicated. So what do you hope through your organization as far as a mission statement? What do you hope Advocate for Justice is able to do?
Well, I'm hoping Advocate for Justice is able to do, and which I see what we are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel like there are dirty laws, injustice, laws of that nature, you have the right to contact your congressman, and you have a right to ask them to pass a bill or at least put a bill, you know, through the Congress and ask them to vote on it. if you don't feel like those laws represent you. Because, see, we are the people. We
right.
put the Congress in, you know, we vote for the people that we want in Congress, and we hope that they are doing what we ask them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the step of basically going up to Washington, D.C. and lobbying. And if Cyrus, you know, this would blow your mind. When I used to go up to D.C. and lobby and stuff, a lot of congressmen wasn't even aware that we didn't have federal parole. They wasn't even aware of it. You know, one congressman stood me down and said, no, I think we do. I said, no, they abolished federal parole in 1987, November 1987. And then one congressman I spoke with stated that, man, I agree with what you're saying. You know, I spoke at the Congressional Black Caucus Conference, I think in 2005. I think that was the year I spoke at the Congressional Black Caucus Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And one congressman, I'm not going to call name, I'm not going to tell where he's from, stated,
sure.
man, I can't win no election or talking about that. You know, I know another congressman talking the same thing you were talking about, and he didn't get voted in. And so coming on your show and having a conversation, basically, you know, like you said, that helps individuals go out there. And, you know, the bottom line, we have the power
right.
to put our elected officials in office, and we also have the power to take them out
right.
when it's not right.
Do you also hope, because as I was talking, as I mentioned, Vicki Hankins was on the program recently, and one thing I mentioned to her and I mentioned to you as well is that this is an election year. So this is something I think that, you know, if people are going to be energized for a particular cause, whatever that cause might be, this is the time for them to really start speaking up. Do you hope that you'll see that in this election year, that people consider that, hey, you know what, you guys have the power, regardless of what you've been told, you have the power to vote change, and if you want to get laws changed, you have to be able to vote for people who feel the same way that you do.
I agree with Vicki, and I agree with you 100%. And that's about, you know, a lot of people, you know, think this subject is taboo. And I feel as though just, you know, during elections, this is about the only time you can basically get a law passed by, you know, speaking up, getting out, you know, coming on shows like your show and other people's show and giving people websites where they can go to, they can see the law, they can see what's going on. But, yes, this is election year, and this is the right time to get your issues out if you want them heard.
Right. Okay, well, and I hope that's a conversation that we can continue to have, Gary. I'm looking forward to staying in contact with you and monitoring this as the rest of this year goes on as we head towards an election. Again, Lieutenant Gary Jones, everyone, is our guest. Advocate for Justice is the organization. Gary, let our listeners know how they can stay in contact with you and find out more information about the work that you're doing.
Okay, they can go to my website. I have two websites. It's Advocate, the Numerical 4, Justice. .org. They can go to GaryJones.info, and everything that we spoke about and we'll be speaking about in the future, they will, because we constantly update our websites.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to go to that website to get some information to help their family members and pass that on, they can do that. So I'm hoping, you know, hoping through the conversation that we had today, we're enlightening a lot of people instead of them just having a stigma, you know, on people that's incarcerated.
Right. Well, because I think we all know somebody who's incarcerated. And so I think that should make us think about, you know, especially those who have a problem. And that's why I made the comment, and I'll say it again, that, you know, it's one thing to gripe and complain about, you know, the laws and sentences and that kind of thing. But if you're not going to do anything about it, like you saw something and you decided you were going to do something about it, people have to be motivated, and they have to be proactive, and they have to be willing to go out of their comfort zone and be able to bring it to people's attention, because otherwise it'll just be people sitting around a room talking. And that's why I think it's so important about the work that you guys are doing with Advocate for Justice, work like what Vicki was speaking about as well, because I think if you're not going to be an advocate for something, you might as well just sit back and let the world continue to pass you by. But again, that website was advocate4justice.org. You can also go to GaryJones.info, and Gary is GaryJones.info, I-N-F-O is where you can go for more information. Gary, again, it was a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for coming by, and continued success to you.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Glad to do it. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. I want to remind you that if you missed any part of my conversation with Gary, you can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's www.conversations.liveradio.com. If you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those pages. So you can just go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/CAWEB4, that's C-A-W-E-B-B, the number 4, and also on Twitter. You can find me at Cyrus Webb, that's C-Y-R-U-S-W-E-B-B. We'll take a break and be right back with more Conversations Live. Make sure you stay with us. For those joining us online, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break